Hey, good morning, Church on the Rock. It is so good to see everybody through the eyes of the screen. And thank you so much for all your comments. It's fun to see them back and forth. I love seeing so much engagement. And thank you for sharing this. It's not too late to share the service. Just push two buttons and we can share this and let friends and family see our message here. Well, we are in number two of a three-part series on Love Refreshed, trying to understand and refresh our idea of what love is. And I want to dive right in today with a story, a bit of a longer story, but this is a true story. This is an historic story about a teenager named Patrick. Now, Patrick lived a long time ago, probably in the sort of mid-300s AD. So I'm not sure if we can actually wrap our heads around this. He lived in England, or although it was called Britain back then, he came from a very aristocratic family. He had it down, and as a 16-year-old, he had a lot of fun, and he sort of mocked Christians. His grandfather was a priest, and he just sort of mocked Christians and lived the teenage life in a big way until the day everything changed. See, the thing in the whole area, he might not have even realized that Rome was becoming weaker and weaker, and they were taking the legions out of England. They're taking them out of that whole area of Britain. And so because of that, there's a lot more boldness that was happening with the raiding parties. And one day, a raiding party from Ireland came. From the Celts, and came and destroyed his village. They went and most likely killed his parents. And as a 16-year-old, the Celtic pirates captured Patrick, and he became a slave. They would have put a torque around his neck, basically an iron collar that would just be nailed on there. And the idea is that iron collar would be there until he died. Just letting everyone else know he was a slave. He was bought by a chief named Maluk, and he basically became a herdsman out in the middle of a field, tending sheep and other things like pigs. And as he was doing this, just imagine that, a 16-year-old kid, you had it all, aristocratic family, boom, everything happened. He was most likely beat and put out into a field in the middle of nowhere. And who did he have? And this is what he writes. He says, I arrived in Ireland, I found myself pasturing flocks daily. And I prayed a number of times each day, more and more. The love and fear of God came to me, and faith grew, and my spirit was exercised until I was praying up to 100 times every day, and in the night, nearly as often. There was something about just getting out in the green fields with nothing else. He had no one else, so he turned to God. And so what happened? In the middle of the night, he heard God's voice. And here as Church on the Rock, we know that God still speaks. And this is what God whispered to him. You're going home. Your ship is ready. And that's all he heard. So what he did something that would cost him his life if he was caught. He escaped the herds and he just started to walk towards the coast. And miraculously, God got him on a ship, and miraculously, they got the collar off, and miraculously, he got to Britain without a penny in his pocket. Miracle after miracle after miracle. He ends up back in Britain, and he is so in love with God that he becomes a priest for over 20 years. In a little parish. And that would be the end of his story, except Patrick understood that he could still hear God. And so he had a dream one night. Again, he is probably now in his mid-40s. And during that time, this would be pretty much at the height of life expectancy. So he would be considered an older man at this point. And this is what the dream was. We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us. That's all he heard. We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us. That is it. But he took it as a call to go back to Ireland. And so he went and got in a boat, took some seminary students, and crossed the channel to head back to Ireland. Now, as an escaped slave, he would be killed if he was found. But just in the boldness of God, realizing God had cleared the way, he went forward. And the first person he went to was the guy that he escaped from. Like, talking about boldness, right? He goes to his captor, and he brought a bag of money to be able to pay his captor for his release. And then, because he wanted to talk to him about Jesus, who paid the ransom for his captor's release. And as he traveled, people were trying to kill him. The Druids wanted to kill him. By the way, we have a very romantic idea of what Druids were. They were just evil people. They had human sacrifice, and it was just, they were not good people. They didn't allow a written language because that would take away some of their power. So they tried to kill him. They tried to poison him. They put curses against him. And so Patrick just taught his seminarians to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray all the time. And they would pray prayers something like this. This is one of St. Patrick's prayer. I invoke today all the virtues. I got to read this without an Irish accent. I don't know. Something in me wants to make this an Irish accent. Okay, I invoke today all the virtues against every hostile, merciless power which may assail my body and my soul, against incantations of false prophets, against the black laws of heathen, against the false laws of heresy, against deceits of idolatry, against the spells, against every knowledge that binds the soul of man. Christ, protect me today against every poison, against burning, against drowning, against death wound, that I might receive abundant reward. He went and challenged the culture of the day. And what he did, he moved forward and created these monasteries. He created monasteries. Now, at that time, there were monasteries in Eastern Christianity. This is where people went to sort of escape the whole idea of the world. But he made it different. He made these communities where there's farms and herds and wineries. At several of these monasteries, there's over 1,000 people living within these walls. And the things that the monks actually had to leave the monastery to get any kind of solitude. So it was like completely, completely different. But here's what was different about these monasteries. He said, once you were inside these walls, you had to pray. You had to display a deep love and kindness to each other. And you had to believe that God was going to work supernaturally in your area. And so in there, only love rain. That was it. Only love rain. You could not put down other people. Any kind of bitterness, they just rooted out of that community. And what happened in these communities, love flourished to such a huge degree, that people came in and looked. In fact, they had little way houses that you can come and take a look at the community. And they so desired to be in a place not of evil, where people rip each other apart, but in a place of love. And as that happened, then they peeled off some and they went outside another community. And in the short few decades that Patrick had to live, he planted 300 churches and changed a nation. How? How did he do this? Through prayer? Yes, prayed all the time. Through belief that God could supernaturally speak? All the time. In fact, there's many stories where God just supernaturally came in, but also creating these local churches where love reigned. Okay, so Dave, you say, okay, this is not like a Celtic spirituality kind of message. You're like, why are you telling us this? Because we're trying to refresh the idea of what the Bible talks about what love is. And so as we're refreshing what love means through the Word of God, there is a whole aspect of this that works deeply in the area of community, of the community of Christ. In this community of Christ where love reigns, this is where God wants this real love to happen in beautiful and beautiful ways. Last week, we sort of set the base of what God's love is. Yes, it's an emotion, but it's not merely emotion, as some of the songs of the day want to tell us. It is also a decision. Also a decision to self-sacrifice. Love is a decision to self-sacrifice. In fact, last week we talked about the opposite of love is not hate, but is selfishness. Love is not, opposite is not hate, but is selfishness. And so as a Christian, what God says, listen, to understand my love, you just give yourself away. You just give yourself away in doing good deeds, but also in showing that kind of selfless love of forgiveness in the community of Christ in such a huge way. And so last week we talked about giving, love is really giving God's best to others without the motive of personal reward. Now Jesus set the course by telling us a little bit different nuance of what love is in the Word of God. He did this in John 13:35. John 13:35. This is such a key verse, and this is what it says. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's interesting. I grew up with that song, you know, they will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. It's interesting they quote this verse, but they put a period too soon. They didn't add the word for one another. They will know we're Christians by our love for one another in this community of faith. I remember reading a commentator on this, and they said, a lot of people think, hold on, this is selfish, isn't it? Like, are we supposed to really show the majority of our love within the community of Christ? It seems too internally focused. Shouldn't we just love everyone? Of course we should. Of course we should. We have Christ in us, and so we love everyone. The Good Samaritan is a great story about that, where everyone in need we can love. Is this a biblical blip? Are we reading too much into it? But no, all the way through the Bible, there's this preference for the family of faith. There's this preference for the family of faith as far as our love goes. I'm going to try and give you a couple scriptures around this. First of all, there's this famine collection for the poor. Basically, back in Jerusalem, when Paul was going around, there was this famine back in Jerusalem. A lot of people needed food. A lot of people needed food. And let's hear him talk to the Roman church about this. Romans 15:26. Now, however, he said, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. Basically, he said, I want to come visit you, Romans, but guess what? I have to go and drop off a bunch of money I collected. Who did he collect this for? Listen to this. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make contributions for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessing. In other words, the whole Old Testament is from the Jewish nation. And the Gentile nations were receiving the benefits of knowing the Messiah. And so he says, it's almost as if they owe Jewish Christians back in Jerusalem. They owe it to the Jews to share with them the material blessings. So they collected food for the poor Christians. You go, wow, really? Like, not for everybody? Well, maybe they did, but all the passage said is for the Christians. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, 10, and 13, it says, our love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Our love must be sincere without cracks, without basically things that are not true about us. What's inside has to come outside. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. We should be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. That's that God love that we talked about last week. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. We need to share with God's people in need and practice hospitality. Of course, we love everyone, but there's this preference for those who are in faith. Galatians 6:10 says that, therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people. Amen. Everywhere we go, we need to be doing good everywhere we go. But it says then, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There is a family responsibility to love those in the household of faith. Dave, why? This doesn't seem right. It seems like you're saying love is selfless living. And we're supposed to do that everywhere we go. But we need to focus. We need to make sure we do that within the family of faith, the household of faith. And I keep on thinking, why? Let me give you three reasons why I think he wants us to do that. First of all, number one, it's just harder at home. It's harder at home, right? Like I'm good. I could give money to an organization, and that's good. There's a little ouch, right? There's a little ouch there to be able to give to an organization that's helping other people. There's a little ouch to go and help other people. In fact, often as I go and help other people, like there's a bit of payback, right? Oh, thank you. You're so kind, right? That's good. But it's different. It's different, all right? It's different. It's to be able to show patience with a son or daughter who hasn't done the dishes. Okay? Come on. Come on, families. That's just harder, isn't it? Like, God bless you. What? You didn't do the dishes? I told you to do the dishes, okay? Okay? Why is patience harder in the family? Just because it is. If we can show patience and kindness, lack of pride, and lack of envy against the closest people to us, the people that we live in community, in our local church, if we can go and practice that, it's just harder and it builds a deeper character for those around us. I remember somebody said that local church is like two porcupines on a freezing night. They want to get together. But then it's hard to be together. And so there's this dance of, ouch, I'm too close. And then, but I need that warmth. Oh, ouch. And so sometimes there's this dance because sometimes it's just harder at home. Another reason why I think God wants us to be able to show this love here, it creates this greenhouse of love. It multiplies as love flows back and forth. Why? Because we can't expect the world to give us anything back. We should not expect the world out there to give us anything back. There's no back and forth. But here, God starts to help us learn, and there's this greenhouse effect of love that happens back and forth. I remember one person in our community went back when she was a new believer. She was so excited because God had tapped her on the shoulder to give some money away to someone. She needed $60. And God had tapped her on the shoulder, give $60 to this person. And she was so pumped about it, except one thing, she had no money. So she said, okay, God, I guess you're going to have to give me some money so I could give it away. Because that's what Christians do in love, and self-sacrificial love. And so just as she was saying that in that service, God had tapped somebody else on the shoulder to give her $100. And the moment she got that money, like, God's been telling me I'm supposed to give you $100. And she looked and said, what? This is great. Now I can give that away. And that is what the Christian life is like. Why? Because here, can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help? And as we do that, it spills outside our community. But we see the miracles of God. And we see people coming and supporting. It creates this greenhouse of love. And lastly, I think this is the most important thing. It creates an invitation to join the family. Creates an invitation to join the family. There is just a lot of pain and hunger in this life. There really is. There is just a lot of pain and hunger in this life. Did you know in the next life, 10,000 years from now, that will be a distant memory. Because guess what? Forever is forever. Can I tell you, what I believe with all my heart is the primary passion of God is to win the lost. The primary passion of God is to win the lost. You read a chapter in the Bible like Luke 15. There's the one sheep that's going away. He leaves the 99. Why? Because he doesn't care about 99? No, he loves them. But guess what? His primary passion is to go after the one. That is God's primary passion. And so guess what he says? Instead of just allowing our love to sort of be filtered out in the community, come and build a community of love. And so it creates another whole engine of people say, I want to be a part of that. They will know we are Christians by our love for each other, and they want to go, can I jump up and be a part of that? And that's Why? We talked about St. Patrick. That's why it spread so quickly and so wonderfully and beautifully and deeply and influenced a whole nation, because they created local churches where love reigned. They could not go in this barrier without letting love reign. It reminds me when Excalibur, we do a training for youth leaders called Excalibur. And one of the things that the guy that helped me with it a long time ago, Steve Brown, he talked about magic door. And I remember hearing him say, what's a magic door? Because we heard a lot of young people like cutting each other down and making funny and mocking each other. And so he said, listen, the moment you come into the Excalibur program, the moment you come, you pass a magic door. All right? You just pass this magic door. And in this magic door, in this place, there will be no mocking of each other. There will be no put-downs. And if you hear somebody do that, just shout out, magic door. And we will create a community of love. And I remember thinking, that's really cool, Steve. That's awesome. And then it happened fairly quickly. Somebody stumbled and somebody said, hey, nice trip. Did you have a nice trip? And I heard a couple kids, magic door. Oh, yeah. Love reigns here. And that, I believe, is Jesus' dream for his local church. That love would reign here. The people that are peeking in from the outside, that come and visit, will see the hugs, will see the welcomes, will see people praying with each other. They'll hear stories about how people gave and helped other people move, and how somebody else brought food to someone, and they'll realize, hold on, this isn't a religion that I attend and get my religious checkbox. This is a family. This is a family of faith where we take care of each other. And for God's love to work, for people who are looking in, God's love has to work in God's community. People are hungry for the real thing. And they'll hear us say, God loves you. And that's great. But then they're going, yeah, whatever. Is this another slogan? Are you just trying to sell me something? Or as they look in, are they going to see, does it work as we actually self-sacrifice for each other? In fact, 1 John 4:20 says it very clearly. It says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister, those would be Christians, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, that's in Christ, whom they have seen, cannot love God whom they have not seen. And so now the Bible, just all through the Bible, says, okay, let's create a community of love. Let's just create this community of love where the family of faith, we are going to self-sacrifice for. Of course we love everyone else. Of course we do. Everywhere we go is love. But guess what? We're gonna make sure that we get it right in this community of faith. And so we have these things in the Bible called one another's. If you are a part of Church on the Rock, or if you're a part of any church, I want you to do a little bit of a self-evaluation. I'm going to read to you some of the one another passages, and what I'm going to ask you to do and go, all right, is this something I've taken on for my community of faith? I just want you to go through your own inventory. There's at least 28, 30 of these verses. We're not going to do them all. I'm just going to do a handful. But I want you to get the idea of the extent that God wants our community of faith, our local church, to be this greenhouse of love. Here we go. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Is that your experience? I'm not talking about other people doing that to you. I'm talking about you doing this for other people. Romans 12:16. Live in harmony with one another. Is that something that God is building in you? Don't be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Is that something that God has built in you for our community of faith? Romans 15:7, accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, encourage one another. Be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Is that something God has built in you? Galatians 5:13, serve one another humbly in love. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And lastly, Ephesians 4:32, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. See, the local church is about receiving messages from God's word. It's in there. It's about doing evangelism. Paul tells Timothy, do the work of evangelist. But it's also creating this hothouse of love in the family of faith to such a degree that as people come and hear stories about us, I know some people say, yeah, I love to tell people about our church. And people, well, no, you should tell them about Jesus. Yeah, we should. But it's okay to tell them about the church. Why? Because that's where God's love reigns. And when they see the disciples loving each other, then they'll know we're disciples by our love for each other. And that is a part of our witness out there. It really is. So we just need to grow a community of God's love. And this is why it's hard. Can we just admit this is hard in the pandemic? This is kind of like kind of church. It's just kind of church. You're getting a message in worship. That's good. And those things are supposed to be done at church. But there's a whole other aspect we're just going to have to work harder at to be able to try and think of creative ways. How can we show love to a community that's hurting? I get a lot of prayer requests, and if you are outside the family of faith, I don't know how you do it. I really don't know how you do it. There's a good people in our church. So this one wonderful woman whose husband, has had a physical problem, and we were so afraid it would be cancer, and we just prayed for the doctors, prayed for the whole situation. Like, dozens of people have been praying for him. I don't know how you do it alone. I know someone else has confidentially shared about a family member with mental health just ripping apart their family. But guess what? Now that the church kicks in and prays and says, how's it happening? Like, how do you do that alone? This is why I love being a part of the family of faith. There is love that reigns here. Amen. Yeah, and you know what? It's happening at Church on the Rock. It is, and I love it here. I love it. But we can't lose it, okay? We can't lose it. In this pandemic, when we're all in our own worlds, it's going to take extra effort to show love to the people around us. There is a responsibility to love in the family of faith. In the family of faith. Let me give you just one more example in the Bible. This is actually from my devotions. It's just really cool. I've been reading the book of Romans. I'm done the book of Romans now. And the last book of Romans, last chapter is Romans chapter 16. And it just says, basically Paul saying, hi, you know, hey, good to see you guys. And he's just sending greetings all the way down. And then all of a sudden he sends greetings to the church that's meeting at Astrobolus' house. And the commentator says, we know about Astrobolus. He was actually a brother to King Agrippa I. He was basically in the Roman society. There's the plebs, and then there's the Roman elite, and then in the Roman elite, in the middle is like the court, Caesar's court, and in that the various kings of the various kingdoms would come and have courtyards and homes, and the home of the Herod family would have been. This guy called Astrobolus. And so a Christian church is meeting in this guy's courtyard. I've seen some of these courtyards, not in Rome, but in Ephesus. And you could fit 200-300 people in here. And so there's most likely 200-300 people in this very rich person's house in the middle of Rome, in the middle of of the political hub of Rome. And then this is what happens. Very next verse. And give greetings to Herodion. Like, who's Herodion? And the commentator said this, Herodian would be a name given to somebody who is a slave in Herod's household. So guess what's happening? The highest of the elite is worshiping beside one of the servants. They're holding love feasts together. They're doing communion together. They're praying for each other. And Paul says, love one another. And it so blew the culture away. They looked in and said, this is supernatural. To break down those barriers. To bring people together in the local church. And I see it here at Church on the Rock. People helping each other move and cut grass and bring groceries. I see us pray together. I see us forgiving each other. I see that love covers a multitude of sins in our community. And so as people sneak in and peek in, they will see God reigning here. But I want it more. I just want it more, people. There is a responsibility of love in the family of faith. And I just can hardly wait to get out of this stupid pandemic thing. Can I say that? Yeah, I guess I just did, didn't I? And I want to hug a bunch of you guys. And I want to pray for you and put my hand on your shoulder to pray with you. And I want us to be able to give back and forth, to see us again coming to this hothouse of love. We're going to do what the government says. We, as Christians, we obey what the government says. But I can hardly wait to get back to you all. Can hardly wait to do that. Because right now, it just takes a little bit of extra effort to do that. Yeah, a lot more extra effort. So, let's pray. And as we pray, I want you to you try this for yourself. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and see if there's any anxious ways. Search me, O God, and see if there is any way in me that I need to grow. And Lord, we invite you to come and tap us on the shoulder and show us, you know, I want my community to grow in love through you in this way. Let's listen to God now. Heavenly Father, I love your love to me. And I love your command to love the world, but it starts here in the local church. Help us to be this hothouse. God, speak to us what you would have me to do to love my family of faith. Thank you for refreshing our definition of love, God, and helping us to see it is so much deeper the world gives. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, you got it. Huh? What a good morning. Thanks so much, worship team. Thank you. Woo!
Ow! So awesome. I'm really enjoying this new series, Love Refreshed.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking us through our second message, and we only have one more, right?
Yeah, only one more. It's a short series, and I do love what our creative team has done, and Jess is a big part of the creative team. Does our the whole pink and green thing and love theme.
Yeah, it's so awesome. I particularly love the pop cans that Leslie did for us. Those are awesome. All right, so right at the beginning of your message, you told us about the story of St. Patrick.
Yes.
And you talked about a community where love reigned.
Yes.
And you talked about a nation that was changed through prayer,
yes,
which is not the first time I've heard you say that, because I've heard you say that about Church on the Rock and about
very
the city of Hamilton, and how there's a desire to pray for our church and pray for our city so that it can be changed.
Yeah, so, very true. I think a lot of times we have to do this enduring prayer where we just have to keep on hitting it and hitting it again. But often then you see this kind of breakthrough where after you've prayed, after a while, like God just seems to go and turn up the speed on things in changing people's lives and to be able to see, yeah, in fact, like our building going up, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that is totally endurance prayer for that building.
Yeah.
So...
Go ahead. Oh, no. And if you do want to come and join our movement of prayer, we have a prayer summit that's coming up. And not this next Sunday, but the next Sunday. And it's going to start a little later at 8 o'clock. This is mainly for families. You know, you can get your little ones to sleep or at least to start to snuggle in. And then you can come and join us with prayer. And we're going to zero in on so many other things that we still need to see happen, both with our building, our community, and as God opens up the doors again for us to worship in person. So looking forward for everybody and anybody to be a part of that.
Awesome. And thank you for leading that and having that desire to do that for our church. So now jumping more into Q&A, we got a question texted in more in line with what you were talking about, how we can't lose our love and our care for one another in our community.
Yes.
And so this is what the text reads. So it says, speaking from past churches I have attended, how do we grow a community of love in the church when there is cliques being formed in churches and sometimes walls being built up and not being so welcoming to new people coming to attend? I have heard sometimes churches can come across as cold and not loving. How do we deal with those issues?
That's a great question, a fantastic question, because I know there's some churches I've been around that say, oh yeah, we're loving. I love my friend. I love my other friend. and it doesn't actually draw people in. So here's the attitude I think we should have, is that they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. So that's the love for one another we've been talking about, but the whole thing, they will know we are. This is for the purpose of drawing people into the community. And so there's got to be this, our community is so alive and fun. And I think we can almost should sort of almost imagine the people that are coming and visiting, imagine some of the friends and family. Could you just imagine if they had their forgiveness of sins and they could worship alongside of you? Just imagine them being a part of our family. And we want our family to grow. We want our family to grow person by person as they fall in love with God. So I think that's a mental change that we need to make. So as we love each other, to go, oh, there's a possibility of somebody coming in and being a part of our family. In fact, I know there's this phrase I often have in the background of my mind. Every person I welcome, I could be a part of their story. I could be a part of their God story. Every person I welcome. Yeah.
Wow. That's a really cool mantra to keep in your head and to keep in mind. And would you say that hearing God plays a role in dealing with those issues?
Hearing God plays a huge role in this. Not only like the example of St. Patrick, where he heard God so well, but as we gather and worship, we say, okay, Heavenly Father, how do you want me to serve? And it might be as simple as praying for somebody or praying with somebody, but often God will tap you on the shoulder in worship and you'll go, really? You want me to say that to them, or you want me to help them with that way? But as we listen to these taps, God creates this beautiful community of love. In fact, even our worship director, we have somebody that's a worship director, you know, that could just, you know, have the title and everything, Johnny Lamont. But what he did, he came in and he just got coffees for everybody on the team, on the soundboard. And, you know, he was just listening to the tap of God to go and support Tim Hortons and support the the community of faith.
So awesome. So awesome. And so I think we talk about hearing God a lot.
Yes.
And we occasionally have opportunities where we can learn how to do that and have workshops.
Yeah.
And so not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after, we're having a workshop, right?
Yes. We're having a Hearing God workshop. Usually it's a whole day event, but what we're doing, we're squishing that down just to a morning event. So we're sort of getting, you know, a bit of a summary, but lots of experience. You won't just be, you know, checking off a notebook. You'll actually be experiencing some of the things that we do as we try and do listening prayer.
That's awesome. And if I can encourage a little bit in that, I think it's a great workshop for those who have never tried hearing God, but I also think it's a great workshop for those who maybe haven't practiced it in a long time. So maybe you went to Ignite or you went to Rooted as a teenager and Cara taught you about it, but it's just been a while. Or maybe you went to the workshop 3 or 4 years ago but haven't put it into practice. Check it out. Come back and learn about hearing God.
That's great. Thanks, Jess.
Awesome. So one last question for
you. Okay, one last question.
Okay, so you chatted about the question of, is this a one another I've taken on from my community of faith?
Yes.
When you were reading off the one another's.
Yes.
So my question for you, Dave, is what is a one another that you've taken on for our community of faith as our pastor?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good question, Jess. Yeah, instead of just saying, okay, all you people out there, you know, what's your one another? You know, what do I have? To be honest, it's interesting when we meet together, often I am in task mode, unfortunately. Mm. I'm going in, okay, the sound is going well. How's the... anything issues with the band or the people? Oh, there's new people. I hope they're getting. So I'm a lot of times in task mode, and sometimes every community of faith has some folks. I think sometimes I know Nancy calls them extra grace required. Some people that might not know some boundaries, and they come up and want a piece of my time. And you know as a leader, you know you don't spend time doing that. But they're in my family. And so I want to say, okay, can I talk to you? Hold on. No, they're my brother and sister in Christ. They're somebody I need to honor. So I'm going to honor them with some of my time, some of my attention. And so that's how I, when churches have some people with these extra grace required folks in it, I say, I think that's actually a gift from God to the community, to help us to learn in different ways, especially those of us who are leaders. So that's one of the ways I've, had to go, okay, God, no, I'm going to one another, everybody, not just the leaders, not just the beautiful people, everybody, I'm going to go in one another.
Hmm. Yeah, which is something that you touched on last week with the unlovable.
Yes, yeah very
that's
much
That's awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... that is all of our questions for today and okay. All of our action steps, things that we can do to put yep. in practice. So would you be able to close us off in prayer?
Love to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your church, your idea of a gathering, that this is not just an individual faith, but we are to be a part of a gathering. And so, Father, as best we can in these COVID times, I pray that you will tap us on the shoulder, remind us on how we can reach out in love to those in our community, to show that you reign here. And Father, I pray that you will bring us back quickly together again. Father, I pray that there will be no more shutdowns and that we can gather again and that gathering can grow to a place where we can be in community, full community with each other very quickly. Lord, keep everybody safe and healthy as we sign off in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Have a good week. Ooh.